This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
This is Brightside Home Theater.
Hey, home theater nerds. Welcome back to Brightside Home Theater Podcast, podcast that talks about what we do in our rooms. And this week, I did a lot in my room, but let's say all with one movie. We'll get to that in a minute. This is week 18 of 2020. It is still week 18 of 2020. I apologize for this being a day late, but I ran into some scheduling conflicts with Mother's Day gifts. So I said on Twitter I'd have a brief explanation. So I work outside, and what I was giving my wife for Mother's Day was an outside type thing. I was re-landscaping the front yard and looking at the weather. It was going to be snowing and really crappy all day on Saturday. And as I'm recording this Saturday morning, it is snowing outside. So welcome to May in New England. But I needed to allocate my time as best possible and to stay inside and to record and edit a podcast on a beautiful day didn't seem prudent. So here we are. And this will be going out shortly after I'm done recording it. I hope you enjoy it. That's my quote unquote brief explanation. If you're new to the podcast, my name's DJ. Thanks for checking it out. Hope you enjoy it. And this week, we're going to go down the rabbit hole again of streaming versus physical media. The way I ended up down this rabbit hole was with the movie Bloodshot, which is what we're going to talk about today. And this movie came out in the theaters on a typical like Thursday night release. I saw it as a Thursday night release. Really excited for this movie. I'm a comic book fan. This is a comic book character from the Valiant line. John and I actually did a pretty extensive review of this movie back on March 23rd. It's issue number 75 of our Brightside Chat podcast. And we get into the nitty gritty of this. And this movie has a lot of nitty gritty. But anyways, this movie actually came out like a week later. They released it because of the pandemic, everything that's going on. They released it like a week later on digital. So I was really excited to be able to have seen this in the theaters and then a week after that, see it digitally. So when I saw it in the theater, like I said, I saw it opening night on a Thursday. Then I went again on Tuesday night, the following Tuesday night. My son hadn't seen it yet, so we went together. And we bought our tickets at 8 in the morning. At 11 o'clock that afternoon, Showcase Cinemas announced, or 11 o'clock that morning, Showcase Cinemas announced that they were closing down all their cinemas effective 8 p.m. that night. Well, we had tickets for 7, so I called the theater. They said, nope, that's good. We just can't allow any movies to start after 8. All right, cool. So literally the last movie I saw in the theaters was this, Bloodshot. And a week later, they released it digitally the following Tuesday. Of course, I bought it, $20, and it gave me that ability to be able to watch a movie in my theater a week after seeing it in a theater. And digitally, I was blown away because having seen it in the theater and hearing the differences, I talked about it with John, and it was the first time I was really able to do that, because usually there's like a 3-month wait and you forget what you heard and saw in the theater, and then you watch it in your theater and you're like, ah, that's a pretty close representation. And believe it or not, I've known this for a while. I've always felt like it's a more intimate setting in your theater. I thought it sounded better, but this is the first movie where it was like, wow, it really is that much better. Because the room's tuned to you. It's tuned to the seat that you're sitting in too. For people like us with our own home theaters. When you go to a movie theater, if you're lucky, it's tuned. And it's probably not tuned to your individual seat. I can guarantee you that. So the nuances, the little sounds don't stick out as much. It's a lot better in your theater. We all know that. But then I find out, as I go down this rabbit hole, I find out on iTunes, which is where I bought it first for $20, iTunes doesn't have it in Dolby Atmos. I had seen people on Twitter say the Atmos was fantastic. So I started to do some research, and Vudu has it in Dolby Atmos. So I had to get Vudu. So I go on Vudu. I sign up for Vudu. That's free. Buying movies. You got to buy the movie. You know what? We'll get into this in a little bit when we really start delving into the movie. We'll get into this a little bit more in a second. Let's get to some listener comments that I got this week. I'm getting a bunch. This podcast is getting longer and longer. If I didn't include you, I apologize. I'm trying to save these comments as best I can up for the week, and sometimes they get lost. And then I remember later in the week when I hear back from somebody after I've recorded the podcast, I'm like, oh, I forgot to mention that one. But thanks to everybody for commenting. It's great getting feedback, getting ideas for movies. Thank you very much. If you haven't commented and you're just listening along, believe me, I understand that. I've been listening to podcasts for years, and it's very rare that I comment. But if you want to comment, you can tweet at me at BrightsideHT, or you can email me at BrightsideHomeTheater@gmail.com. Let me know how I'm doing. Let me know what you'd like to hear about. Suggestions for movies. Tell me about your theater. All that good stuff. So my first comment this week came from Brian Fuller on Twitter, @Brian_Fuller7. Brian says, @BrightsideHT, just watched Molly's Game on Netflix. Really enjoyed the movie. The cast was great. My wife and I stumbled upon the movie on Netflix and gave it a shot, as we are pretty tired of standard affair right now, based on a true story that you would never believe. And Brian, let you know, right away, I got your tweet. I went online, I went on to IMDb, looked it up, loved the trailer, loved the movie. I texted the trailer to my wife. She loved the trailer, loved the movie. We're so excited to watch it that night. Completely forgot about it. We haven't watched it since. We haven't watched it yet. I actually have it in my reminders. I keep moving it forward. You know, watch Molly's Game. I keep forgetting. Other things come up. Obviously, this podcast is late. I'm not saying I'm super busy. This is all good, fun stuff. I'm hoping we get to it tonight, but that's definitely on the list. It looks really good. Thank you for the recommendation. Brian also tweeted again later in the week, @FirstReflect, @AVRant_Tom, @BrightsideHT. I just won some @SVS_Sound Prime Wireless Speakers that I can finally use to put up surround backs. 7.2.4! Won them during one of SVS's awesome happy hours. I had to tell you guys because my friends wouldn't appreciate it like you guys. So this tweet is loaded with comments. First off, few years of AV Rant. AV Rant's been around for quite a while. I've been listening to him for 2 or 3 years now, only because that's when I discovered him. But anyways, being included in a tweet with these guys and SVS is like, as you guys know, anybody listening to this, if you're listening to my podcast, you're a home theater fan, to be included with these guys is huge. Very excited. Thank you. Thanks, Brian. Appreciate that. But yeah, going to 7.2.4. Getting to that seven channels and listening to Rob and Tom go back and forth on this is a riot, because Rob's room is similar to mine. It's a smaller room, but I have 7.2.4. Tom's like, you don't need back channels. That's what he, you know, you don't need them. And he's right. You don't need them, but I want them. And the reason I want them is I want that peace of mind in my room when I'm sitting there. I know that it can't get better. I've always been like that in this hobby. I think most people are like that in this hobby. Do you need those two channels behind you when you're sitting, you know, that close to the wall. And I'm probably 4 to 5 feet away, so I don't think I'm that close to the wall, to the rear wall. So they kind of, I probably do get a benefit, but I know that this is the best it can possibly be. If I went 5.2.4, it probably would sound the same, but I'd know in my head that I could have two more speakers back there. And I want those. I want that peace of mind. And it's not that much more money. I mean, how many channels only do 5.1.4? They don't. They'll be able to do 7. So, especially nowadays. So, and you don't need that extravagant speakers behind you. So it's not that huge of an investment. It doesn't really change much. And then once you put them in, you can unplug them and you can A/B what it's like between 5 and 7. And it gives you a whole boatload of stuff that you can do for fun in your theater. So congratulations, Brian. I know you'll have hours and hours of fun that you can talk to us about, because I know your friend's eyes glaze over. Because my wife's eyes glaze over, my friend's eyes glaze over, kind of like my eyes glaze over when I go into a friend's house and I look at his TV and he goes, look how awesome this is. And I'm like, that's not what red's supposed to look like. But I keep my mouth shut and I just let my eyes glaze over. So moving on, we have Adriano. Hit us up again this week at AdrianoTweets87, replying to my Transformers episode last week. He says, great episode. Was really looking forward to it as I'm a huge Transformers fan. These movies are great for showing off home theater. From the action, the detail and special effects, sound and score, it's all great material. Going to rewatch the Blu-ray with my boy later this week. Thank you again for the compliment. And yes, Transformers, that's what they're made for. These movies were made to show off theaters, home theaters, things that go boom. You can't go wrong in a home theater with things that go boom. And lots of, and like you said, Adriano, the detail inside each of these Transformers, the characters and stuff that you couldn't even see in the toys, but as a kid, you'd look inside and try to see certain things and inside the toys, I mean. But if you have the Blu-ray, I highly recommend the 4K because it really brings that detail out even more. Next up, we have John M. He likes to email, so I get quite a few emails from him during the week, which are really good. We talk back and forth about different movies. And this week, instead of reading all the emails and stuff, this week he turned me on to the Star Wars sequels in 3D. So he sent me an email early on in the week. I immediately went on because I love the Star Wars sequels. I love all of Star Wars. We all know that. But I didn't know they had all of these available in 3D, or as easily available, I should say. And I immediately went online, started purchasing them. I got them for pretty cheap. And the first one came in, which was Force Awakens. That came in like 3 or 4 days after I ordered it. And the other ones are, you know, could be a couple weeks or whatever. And as I said to him, as I replied to him, I was like, I'm kind of Star Wars out right now. So I might wait a little bit to watch these, but I'm definitely excited. I mean, the Star Wars Force Awakens, I bought the nice box set. I actually put it on display in the back of my theater with all my other Star Wars stuff. It looks that nice. It's got that like 3D looking cover, you know, but in one of his emails, John says I should, you know, compare the Atmos to the 7.1 and compare it to stream Hours and hours of fun. Can't wait to get into those, but I'm trying to hold myself off from that because I've done so much other Star Wars and I have some other things to get to as well. Obviously, we have Tom Cruise movies coming out soon. We have Top Gun and Days of Thunder, two of my favorite from the 80s. So no shortage of content. So speaking of Star Wars, when John and I talked about the box set part 2, I had mentioned, that's the podcast, I had mentioned that Tom Andre followed me on Twitter and I told the story about Jurassic Park and that I wanted him to be on the podcast so we could talk Jurassic Park. I called him the George Lucas of home theater. Ha ha ha. So, which I think he is. So anyways, so they mentioned me after that, a few weeks after that, they mentioned me on their podcast and that Tom might be coming on Brightside Home Theater. And I was like, I was blown away. I'm driving along, doing my errands, listening to the podcast, and they start talking about me and my podcast, and Rob's listened, and Tom's never listened, but he doesn't listen to podcasts that much, and blah, blah, blah. But anyways, blown away, so excited. So later this week, Francis Amoco tweets at me. His Twitter handle is at Boogie236. He says, I mentioned you to Tom at AV Ran about a collaboration with you and him. I hope it happens. And you got a mention on their podcast. Thanks for that, Francis. That was awesome. I figured somebody did because the way they described it, it was like Tom said he was invited vicariously through something. So I'm like, oh, he must have heard about it from a listener. Now I know who the listener is. Thanks, Francis. Let's say, it's in the works. All right. Let's just say that, it's very exciting for me. I have spoken to Tom. We've gone back and forth and we're working on it, getting our schedules together, but that will be coming. Got to figure out when we can get that in. But yes, it is in the works. Thanks to Francis. Thanks to Tom. Thanks to AV Rant. Thanks to Rob. So that'll be coming soon. I'm really looking forward to that. And I'm looking forward to getting that out to you guys too. And speaking of AV Rant, AV Rant finally dropped their episode where they talk about subwoofers with Lee Overstreet, who's his Twitter handle is at Lee Overtweet. How creative. But they finally put out episode number 695, titled SVS SB 2000s Pro Subwoofers. And this is a really, really fun podcast to listen to. As a home theater fan, if you own multiple subs, if you own one sub, if you own no subs. So first off, if you own no subs and you're a home theater fan, this is going to make you get one up to two subs. No doubt about it. It's like a 2 hour long infomercial, but it's so entertaining because Lee is so smart. He's been in AV for so long. I've obviously listening to him on AV Rant, but for years he had that idea that you didn't need subs because he had two full range tower speakers with 15 inch subs. And it's that adage that makes this hobby so great. Or I shouldn't say adage. It's that idea that makes this hobby so great is because for the longest time, I started off with a Mitsubishi 65 inch high def TV. That was my main screen. And this is the old, I'm not talking the on the wall one. This is the rear projection type. I built it into the wall to make it look like it was a screen. So behind the screen was a closet that I had built that anyways, but you always think your theater is the best it can be. And it is. But there's always something out there that makes it better, but you don't know what that is yet. You can live with that. But then when you upgrade, you get to see the difference. Going from 1080p to 4K, you see the difference. Going from a $300 or $400 screen to a $3,000 screen for your projector, you could see the difference. There is a difference in the money, but our theaters are only as strong as the weakest link. And this hobby is we're constantly improving the links. It's like, oh, I'm going to get this piece and it's going to make it this much better. And for years, Lee only thought that the links, you know, he didn't think that bass was a weak link in his system. And it's not until you add in those subwoofers that you realize how much stronger your theater will be. How much stronger that chain will be when you add in that link and how much more is you can lift. Nice analogy, if I do say so myself. But yeah, check out that podcast. If you're not listening to AV Rant and you're listening to this, go over, search AV Rant. It's episode number 695. It's just an entertaining dissection of subwoofers. It's so good. Oh, and speaking of that, Adriano sent me a tweet like yesterday. or the day before, I think. And it was just, it was a picture. He sent it at Brightside HT, and it's a meme. And it had a picture of like this cartoon flower screaming his brains out. And it said the volume of the movie sound effects. And then it was like versus, and then it was a nice quiet looking flower, just a flower with a smiley face. That's all. And it said volume of the movie dialogue. And it's basically the different, you know, how we all go through that and how, you know, a lot of sound bars now have voice leveling or sound leveling. So it squashes the highs and brings up the lows. So everything's more consistent. But when you're watching a movie, that you want that because that's what the director wanted. And one of the things that Lee talked about in getting the new subwoofers is you feel like you have less bass when you have a subwoofer, because now you're only getting the bass that you were supposed to get, whereas before you were just amplifying everything and it sounds like the whole room's booming the whole time. But then when you add a subwoofer, all of that goes away. The dialogue seems clearer or more clear. I don't know, whichever is the correct vernacular, because you've taken that low stuff that you've been trying to boost, which it just boosts everything across the board, not just the low. I just thought it was a interesting tweet to come in right while I'm listening to Lee talk about how his theater was, how the sound of the center channel was improved by getting two subwoofers, or even actually at that point he was saying how he had only one subwoofer installed. So a couple more tweets. Steve George this week at Legal Beagle OK on Twitter completed going through the Star Wars Saga box set. Really enjoyed following his tweets this week, his analysis of each movie. Basically, it seems like he felt the same way I did. These movies have never looked better. They have some flaws. Certain ones have flaws. Certain ones are better than others. But what I thought was funny is it's never been mentioned on this podcast. I actually mentioned it on Brightside Chat with John. And then Steve brought it up this week, is the bubble wrap. So in Empire Strikes Back, in the opening scenes when they have the snow speeders, if you look inside them, or you look at Luke when he's sitting there, or any of the pilots actually, the straps that come over their shoulders have pieces of bubble wrap cut out and pasted onto the top just to give it texture. And I mentioned it to John in the Brightside Chat because I forgot to mention it on this one. And Steve mentioned this week, he in 4K, he can see the bubble wrap now, which he'd never seen before. I thought that was really funny because I'm pretty sure he doesn't listen to Brightside Chat. And it's just funny how these things are popping out. Hey, look at that, pun intended. And everybody's starting to notice things that we never noticed before. I mean, if go to that scene and look at the bubble wrap, it's pretty funny because it's pretty, like, obvious now. And the last thing I'd like to mention about Twitter is Mine9 Movie followed me, at Mine9 Movie, and thanked me for their review last week. I thought that was really, really cool for a small podcast like me to be followed by a movie and getting thanked by what I assume is the director who directed the movie. It's basically his baby. I thought that was really cool. It was fun for somebody like me. And if you haven't watched that movie, I highly recommend it. That has nothing to do with that. I said that last week. I told John again this week, you know, privately. I'm like, you got to see that. He says, oh, I haven't seen it yet. I'm like, you got to see it. It's really cool how it plays with your emotions. It's an emotional movie. All right. Let's get back into Bloodshot. This podcast is getting longer and longer because I'm getting more and more listeners comments. So cool. So getting back to Bloodshot, what I was talking about before we went into tweets was how Vudu has it in 4K and Atmos, but iTunes didn't. And that sent me down this rabbit hole. And it's a long rabbit hole. I will try to make this as fast as possible. So here we go. So when it first started out, iTunes didn't have it in Atmos, but it had it in 4K. Vudu had it in 4K and Atmos, but when you played Vudu through your Apple TV, you couldn't get it because you weren't allowed to have, they didn't do both. Okay. So I ran out and I bought myself a Roku. I got the Roku Ultra LT. It was $79.99, I believe. Does HD, 4K, HDR, all that good stuff. Brought it home, got it all connected, sat down in my theater, wanted to get Bloodshot, and I went through all the steps, got everything all set up, bought Bloodshot. When I tell you, one feature I really, really like is when you buy the movie, you can buy the movie plus the digital, and they'll ship you the movie when it comes out, because Vudu is through Walmart at the time and now has been bought out by Fandango. So that actually saved me money, because what I was expecting to have to do was buy it for another $20 on digital just to be able to do the comparison. But instead, I bought it for $27, which is what you would buy the disc for anyways. And they did ship me the disc, and the disc came out just this past Tuesday. I actually received the disc on Sunday, which was really, I was like, well, I don't really like this feature. But anyways, got it all hitched up. Everything's great. We'll get into the comparisons in a second. But yes, now I could watch it in Atmos and 4K. Did a comparison then. Like I said, we'll get into that in a second. Fast forward. Let's go ahead another month. I look online. I look on iTunes. I actually have installed Movies Anywhere. So now all of my movies can be in one place. Nice little feature. Movies Anywhere has it in 4K, but 5.1. But then I go on iTunes, and iTunes now has Bloodshot in Atmos as well. And then I go down on my Vudu app, and I can now watch Bloodshot in 4K and Atmos on my Apple TV. So on my Apple TV, I have iTunes, Vudu, and Movies Anywhere, all of them showing Bloodshot in one form or another. Actually, let's say iTunes has the extras as well. Vudu has no extras. Even it has no extras on the Apple TV. And if you go to the Roku, it has no extras there. Movies Anywhere has the extras plus an additional extras. It actually has these like 60-second hacks. It's called RST Classified Intel. So RST is the company that made Bloodshot in the movie. And there's, if you see the movie, you'll know what I'm talking about. We'll get into spoilers in a little bit. But anyways, so there's these 60-second snippets that are supposed to come off as like some intel, like the guy's hacking a system. And the first one is on Wiggins, which is a character in the movie. They're all about the characters. The second one is about Tibbs, who's the blind soldier in the movie. The third one is on KT and Jimmy Dalton. KT is the woman with the breathing apparatus. Jimmy Dalton is the one with the artificial limbs. And then, of course, the fourth one is on Ray Garrison, or AKA Bloodshot. They were cool, but Movies Anywhere is free. So if you have Movies Anywhere, you can find it there. If you don't, it doesn't cost you anything. And if you have some digital movies, you can put them in there. And anyways, so I thought that was really interesting, and it gave me the ability to AB really quickly through the different formats and through Roku and Apple TV. Quick assessment. Apple TV, I think, blows away the Roku. I think the picture quality is a lot better on Apple TV. I just feel like, now my son couldn't see the difference. To be fair, I was like, oh, look at how the dark scenes looked too dark on the Roku. Whereas on the Apple TV, it looked more natural. It looked like the way it should be. And I did a lot of this in the last month before the disc came out. Once the disc came out, I realized how close the Apple TV really is to what it's supposed to look like. Because when you put the 4K disc in, this, you have to imagine that this is the best that it can possibly be, with the exception of Thor Ragnarok. Then going to AB quickly between the Apple TV, the Roku, and the 4K disc, I think that reinforced it even more, that the 4K disc and the Apple TV, the picture is that much closer. Now, sound quality. This movie has a ton of great scenes. We'll get into that in a minute. But the sound quality, The Atmos on the 4K disc is awesome. Practically Transformers level quality of all the way from the beginning to the end, the minor scenes or sounds, I should say, the minor little sounds going on. There's actually this one scene where they're talking and it looks like a very empty area, meaning the hallways are empty. They're in a glass room. They're having a conversation. And if you're listening at reference level, you can actually hear office chatter off in the background. And I heard it, and it's very, very subtle, like it's from further away. But as they pull back on the scene when they're, you know, changing angles or whatever, I'm like, there's nobody else around. Where is this chatter coming from? But I still thought it was really cool because I'm like, I actually paused the movie to see if it was chatter within my house. And I'm like, what? Why am I hearing people talking? But there's nobody else around. It's just a conversation between three people in a glass room, and you could see outside the room, and there's nobody else around. So I thought that was really cool. Showed off the, like, really kind of the intricacies of the sound. But the dynamic range on the iTunes and on the Roku was not as good. I'll tell you, back when I was comparing the iTunes without Atmos and the Roku with Atmos, I actually preferred watching the movie on my iTunes through the Apple TV because I, like I said, I thought the picture was better and the sound difference was like not even discernible to me. I didn't notice a huge difference between the Atmos track on the Roku and the 5.1 track on iTunes. Because even on the Roku, it's streaming. It's not a true full bandwidth Atmos track. So you're getting a little bit of a squashed down dynamic range either way. I didn't hear the difference, and I actually preferred to watch the movie on the iTunes. So before we get into spoilers, let's get a quick summary here. So movie theaters, I love the movie going experience. I love the giant screen. I love it being able to enjoy these movies with a bunch of other people. And they can't go away. I love that. Home theater, so much better for sound, for picture quality. Everything is so much better in your home theater. It's built by you. It's made for you. It's tuned to you and your seat. It can't be better. 4K physical media is clearly the best way to go. If people think that streaming is just as good or sufficient, then we get back into that weak link thing. Then that's great. That's fine. You'll save you a lot of money or whatever, but it's that weak link thing. And like Lee was thinking he had the best subs. Oh, the best subwoofer effects off of his 15-inch woofers on his speakers. If that's what you think, that means you haven't been exposed to how good it can be, or you don't have the ability, your system hasn't been tuned for that, and you can't see the difference. And that's fine. I'm not picking on those people. I'm not saying that other systems are better when they are. There are systems that are better than mine. I'm following people on Twitter and they're telling me about their JVC. And I'm like, oh, I wish hopefully I can get there someday. I'm like, and I know I dreamed of getting my Sony projector. And now that I have that, I'm like, you're looking at the next step. I dreamed for years and years of getting 4K. I dreamed of getting a subwoofer for years and years. And it's, you know, that was years and years ago. But there's always, once you achieve that step, you want the next step. But I think for the people that are saying that streaming is just as good, you know, it's not. And to me, it's not even close. And then obviously different streaming services or different streaming devices have different capabilities. For me, I think Apple TV puts out the best quality across the board between picture and sound. Little hardware review there, but I had a blast doing all this. It's just going back and forth, jumping up and changing discs. And I love working in my theater, and it's a blast. So popcorn is popping. Let's get into spoilers. I mean, the title of the podcast is Bloodshot, so let's start talking Bloodshot here. So, spoilers for Bloodshot. 4K, 239:1 aspect ratio, obviously Dolby Atmos, all of that. I had my masking up. Picture looked great. And it really pops the opening scene. One of the opening scenes, you have a long distance shot of a green Mustang driving through like the mountains, and the green on the Mustang just popped so much in the, with the 4K HDR that it just really brought that green out. I almost feel like in my memory, I could see like the metallic paint, like I could see the sparkles in the paint, which you can't. It's just, I work with paint, so I'm probably just superimposing that myself. But it really did pop against the mountaintop or the mountainside that he was driving through. Really, really looked nice. But the actual opening scene when he's, you know, breaching a room, Ray Garrison, that is, he's breaching this room and he throws a grenade through the door and it blows up in midair, like a fragment grenade. And the way the sound around the room, it felt like all the fragments were going in all four corners of the room. You could hear it. It was really, really cool. It really made all the channels come alive. And I like when they do stuff like that. I've mentioned it in the past. When they do that early on in a movie so you know what you're in for, it really sets the tone, the great bass and great sound effects, and you're like, all right, this is going to be fun. It brings your expectations up a bit. Then at 9:25, we have that scene with, you know, Psycho Killer scene with the Psycho Killer music. And as he turns it up, the room, the music in the room, it just fills the room. And at the end of the scene, the music comes down, they have some dialogue, but at the end of the scene, it's like 13-minute mark-ish, there's really cool use of the overhead speakers. It's really cool. Listen for it. It's like floating right over your head, or at least it was in mine. Really good use of the Atmos. So there's a scene that comes up with Ray Garrison when he first wakes up. Okay, so he died or was killed, and he first wakes up, and they engage the entire room. This is shortly after that, like, probably 10 seconds after that scene I just talked about at the 13-minute mark. But it's when he first wakes up and they use the whole room for sound, for the voices that he's hearing. And just pay attention to that, because we're going to come back to that at the end of all of these. So that's pretty cool. So at the 23:50 mark, he punches the support. It's Ray Garrison finding out his power, finding out he's Bloodshot, and he punches the column supporting the building. It's a concrete column, and he punches it with his fist. And the power and the punch, it's really quick, but the bass, it felt like he was punching my foundation. The room shook. I felt the punch in my chest. I felt the room shake. It was like, it was quick and it was really good. Really good. So, recommend that one to Lee Overstreet, because he is looking for good bass scenes. At 28:20, Ray Garrison and KT are in the cafeteria doing shots, and he gets his memory back. And when he gets his memory back, the sound all around the room, like I said, we're going to touch on that again. I mentioned that a minute ago when he had his memory and he gets his memory back. The sound all around the room starts engaging. They're using the sound as part of the storytelling in a huge way in this movie. And again, I'm going to touch on this again later on. But this was a really cool surround sound effect. That is, it's a fun one to show off a theater, the way the sounds and the noises move all around the room. At the 30-minute mark, they use the rear channels for the conversation they're having, because Ray's escaping and they're talking to him, but the voices are supposed to be in his head, so that when on some of the scenes when they're talking to him, it sounds like the voices are behind you. It's pretty cool. It's a pretty cool scene. Check out the HDR 4K, the way the maps look. So all of the monitors have different maps on them and different information, and the maps just really pop, and the HDR is really shown off here. So then we get to the first big battle at 3350. It's the tunnel crash. Huge, great bass, great low frequency effects, great HDR with the red flares and the flower floating in the air. But then you also have the blue light coming from the vehicles, and it's just a beautifully shot scene. It's so much fun to watch. And the HDR, the black levels and everything. It's stuff like this that made me so you see stuff like this and it's why I found like Solo to be so disappointing, where they couldn't get the black levels, the brights and the dark scenes all to be on the same scene. And everything seemed grayed out in Solo. But in this one, where flowers floating in the air, you would think everything would be grayed out with that, and it wasn't. There was really good depth in each frame. It looks so good. And the sound here, great gunshot, distinct bass for each gunshot. Different sounding bass when they brought the camera in the car and they were shooting outside. You'd hear the different pop, and then they'd immediately go outside and the pop would start changing to a more realistic sounding gunshot. The scene wraps up at 41 minutes and 40 seconds. So you're looking at a good 8 minutes of action out of this scene. It's really, really good. From there, you're going to see a lot more tech screens. The HDR 4K really pops those screens. Looks really good there. We get to 5845. It's the next attack on Barriss. Lot of great, discreet, subtle sounds. Punches have great bass. Really feel the impact of each of these punches that Ray's throwing. Or Bloodshot, I should say. At this point of the movie, he's full on Bloodshot. The score really envelops the room. I mean, you have gunshots going off. You have punches being thrown. Great bass. All of this. Meanwhile, there's dialogue going on, and the dialogue is crystal clear. And it's important to follow along what's going on. This is where the movie's really playing out. You're getting more and more information on what's happened in the movie so far and why things are happening in the movie. So it's important to get this dialogue, but it's so crystal clear amongst all of this chaos that's going on and the score and everything. And it's really building the tension, you know, giving you that on the edge of your seat feel. And then, just as you think it's like, okay, it's really building and building, Wiggins sets off the EMP, and you get really cool use of bass to signal that the EMP went off. And then, because of it's an EMP, it shuts everything down, everything goes quiet. So you've been building to this through this entire scene, and then boom, nothing. And then Bloodshot, because of the EMP, his whole body shuts down and he falls to the floor, and now you're in that silent mode, but his body falls to the floor and you get a great thump, really great bass thump when he hits the floor. And again, here we go. A really great use of surround sound when Bloodshot wakes up. They keep using that over and over. And again, we're going to come back to that. And I can't stress enough how much I enjoyed the HDR in this, in the 4K. I mean, this movie has a ton of dark scenes in it, but they were really good. They looked really nice. It made the movie more enjoyable to me. It wasn't a distraction. It actually enhanced the movie. It looked really good. And, one I forgot to mention. So we're in spoilers, obviously. There's a scene when Bloodshot is dreaming, and it's in when he first wakes up. I forgot to write down the time on this, but he punches the wall. If you've seen the movie, you'll know what I'm talking about. So he wakes up and he punches the wall. And then later in the movie, we see KT go in and replace the wall, replace that panel. Go back to that scene, and the first time that Ray Garrison goes to his quarters and he sits down on the bed and he puts his hands in his head in his hands, and he's like thinking, that panel behind him is a different color than every other panel in the room. And what I thought was interesting about that is the first time he sits down on that bed, he hasn't woken up yet. He hasn't punched the panel yet. You haven't seen anything, But that's a nod to the fact that this stuff has all happened multiple times and they've replaced that panel multiple times. So it's pretty cool and it's pretty obvious how that panel sticks out. It's the lower panel right behind him sitting on the bunk. And I thought that was really cool. And it really jumped out at me when I watched this on the disc and I had never seen it. I had never noticed it, I should say. I'd never noticed it watching it on the digital copies. And I watched this movie like three or four times before I saw it on the disc. And watching it on the disc, I noticed right away, I was like, wow, that panel's jumped out at me. And I know that panel is going to be replaced. And I know that they've replaced the panel previously. So they're showing you, they're giving you hints as to what this movie is about before it even happens. I just thought that was really cool. And I thought it was the 4K that actually brought it out to me. But back to the scenes. So at 1 hour, 13 minutes, and 20 seconds, we have a cool chase scene. This scene reminded me a lot of G.I. Joe, one of the G.I. Joe movies, and they had a chase scene. It felt similar to that, but it had really cool base, really cool traffic pans, I called them, front to back, left to right, back and forth. Really, really detailed and really discreet. Really good scene. So at 1 hour, 19 minutes, and 20 seconds is the scene where Ray is talking to Dr. Harding, who is played by Guy Pearce. And I called the scene the neural headspace. And they're in his head. So Dr. Harding set the system up so that he can get into his head to talk to Ray, to talk to Bloodshot. But this is another one of those scenes where it's like it's in his head. It's really cool use of surrounds, just like the ones before. Nice bass. And then they switch to reality where in this shot here, they're still in his head, but they brought it to a more realistic surroundings visually and a more realistic surroundings of sound. And I thought that was really cool. And tells the story of what's going on here, which I think is really cool. And like I said, that's at 1 hour, 19 minutes, and 20 seconds. This is important to note because, yet again, this will come up. So at 1 hour and 31 minutes, roughly, we have the final battle. This is a treat. It's a really, really good scene. A lot of great sound effects. Lot of discreet bass. It shook the room. The detail. It was so good. I almost forgot to write it down. I was so engrossed in the movie on this. I almost forgot to write down the time. That's why I had to say around 1:31. Cause when I hit the time on it, I looked up. I was like, all right, I'm going to ballpark this. And then I stopped. I didn't take any notes. I just know this scene was, it was so much fun to listen to. I didn't want to take myself out of it. And in on the disc, the 4K disc, it just, everything just really jumps out at you. It was very, very good scene. Highly recommend this scene. I mean, the part where the nanites are coming back and the little intricate sounds you get from each of the nanites putting his body back together as he's approaching it, those were really cool. And then the final room shaking explosion. Just really, really cool scene. Great way to end the movie. Except, and now we finally get back to that last part. At 1 hour, 38 minutes, and 50 seconds, Ray wakes up again. And the sound, same thing. It's around the room. He's hearing voices all over the place. He wakes up in this scene, and it's, as it starts to simplify, it comes back around, and now he's talking to Wiggins. He's inside the trailer. Then he goes outside the trailer, and it's a beautiful landscape. And this is that scene. This is where it's like, now, did this movie even take place? What is real? What isn't real? Because if you put everything, all the pieces together on what they can do with Bloodshot, you don't know if this is real or not. And that scene right there at the end where they mapped it and made it exactly like all the other scenes where he was waking up, including the scene at 1 hour, 19 minutes, and 20 seconds where we had that headspace and you know, everything simplified down. And we knew in that scene he wasn't in the real world, but it felt like the real world. I thought this is where they used the special effects, used the audio, the sound to really tell a separate story within the story. And you don't know what's real and what isn't real. For all we know, none of this took place, because we know we started the movie with him breaching a room and going back to his wife and all that. And that was all made up. The entire thing from the beginning of the movie until he wakes up the first time, that was all made up. And really, really cool. Really well done. So we don't know. Maybe this whole movie was all made up and it's all, and Wiggins has been running this whole thing. Who knows? And I thought that was so cool and such a cool way to use your home theater and play it to like nerds like us. And I could go on and on about this movie. Like, that's why I've seen it so many times. But, and this here's, I'm going to get to the most disappointing part of this entire thing. The extras, they were so, I wanted an audio commentary. I wanted two audio commentaries. I wanted to hear an audio commentary from Vin Diesel, because I know he was really invested in this character. He's really excited to do that. He was one of the producers on this. He brought this to life from Valiant. I was really excited to hear from him. I wanted a commentary from Dave Wilson, the director. I wanted to hear what, like, all the ideas that, and I wanted to hear stuff that to reinforce or tell me stuff I didn't know, or maybe stuff I was suspecting, like I said, with the storytelling that they were doing with the sound and the picture and the way they did things. And they didn't have any of that. They had a few things that were pretty cool, but they, you know, they had some blooper, they had a blooper reel. That's pretty cool. They had, like a 10-minute segment with Dave Wilson about directing it. It's called Initiate Sequence, I think. They have one called Forgotten Soldiers, the cast of Bloodshot. That's pretty cool. But a lot of them didn't have a ton of backstory to the story of this. And I wanted more information. There's a cool, in deleted scenes, there's a cool end scene that was cut out where he's battling Jimmy, the augmented limbs guy. He's battling him in a pool. And that was a pretty interesting scene that they cut out. There's another deleted scene, Why Can't I Remember Anything? And it was that scene I was telling you about earlier where they're in that glass room at Dr. Harding, Ray, KT, and they're having a conversation. And it elaborates a little bit more on how he can learn, how Ray can access information and how smart he is. That's a pretty cool scene. But all in all, for extras, I wanted more. I want more. Maybe they'll come out with a deluxe box set or something and it'll have even more. Because I know this was kind of rushed, because this is faster. The disc came out faster than it normally would. Obviously, it went to streaming faster than it normally would. But really, really fun movie. I really, really enjoyed it, as you can tell. I recommend it. I recommend it pretty highly. I love the story. It got me into the comic book, which I wasn't a fan of because I hadn't really read it. I disliked it, but now I'm getting into the character. I'm trying to read more and more about him because I want more information. I'd love to hear your thoughts. What did you think of it? It's funny because I watch these things now and I think of, what are people going to think of the picture? Do they like it? Do they not like it? What don't they like about it? Everybody has different tastes and whatever. That's cool. But I really enjoyed it. So let me know what you thought. You can email me at brightsidehometheater@gmail.com, or you can tweet at me at brightsidehT. Have great conversations there. So that's it for this week. Hope everybody's having a good time. Staying safe. I will be back next week, hopefully on time this time. Have a great week. Go push play. Hey Fred. This has been a Hey Fred production with theme music by Jeff Bernhardt and Throne Vault Productions.